Hey, Kyle, all right, I'm running a few minutes late. I'll be there in just a moment. Just hold on 1 second.
Don't worry about it. Take your time. I haven't seen Ryan anywhere.
Yeah, well, that's quite surprising, isn't it? No. All right, I'll see you in a minute. I gotta go. Alright guys, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 25 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And we'll do our little bit different intro, doing things a little bit differently. So Kyle's over here on my right, which would be the left side of the screen. And on my left, of course, is Ryan, which would be the right side of the screen, to confuse you guys a little bit more. This is the 25th episode, the last episode of the season, so there probably won't be much useful stuff here. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a Christmas episode. We got our tree over here. We're going to decorate it a little bit later. But before then, let's go through just a few quick little things here.
Will we sing Christmas carols also?
See, I was actually thinking about doing something like that, and I had this little skit written up, but I thought it would be really stupid.
It probably would.
It probably would have been really stupid. So I kind of got cut from the show.
Good. Well, I guess in the hindsight, yes, that is.
See, none of us can actually sing, so it would probably be offensive to everybody.
Yeah, us being us on too. Us being on a podcast should be offensive to everyone.
You'd think
that
so.
That too.
But apparently it's not. But anyway, let's start with actually the one kind of useful miniature war game information we're going to be talking about here, which was, at the day we're recording this, yesterday was the WinterCon 2009 event. It's a gaming convention put on by the Metro Detroit Gamers, and it was held this year at Oakley University. It's a college up in Rochester Hills, Michigan, and I'm going through my tweets from yesterday to do a quick recap of what I did that day. Basically, got there at 8:30 in the morning and played games till about 10:30 at night. So a very long, busy day. Lots of cool stuff happened. Not my replies. I need to look at my own messages. So basically, start off the morning. The first game we played was called Frag Gold Edition by Steve Jackson Games. I think they make Munchkin. That fun Ogre Miniatures game you like. They're basically one of the big gaming companies. Frag, that's designed to try to capture the feel of a first-person shooter, like Halo or Quake or something like that.
We get an opportunity next season to review.
Did it succeed in doing that, in your opinion? Was it like the Halo games that we played
before? Not really, sort of. I mean,
or is it worthwhile even reviewing it?
I mean, it's an all-right game. I think the retail is $50, which, no. But the problem with it is how you pick up weapons. It's pretty much all random how you pick up weapons and equipment. So whereas normally, say, like Halo or something, you run over a gun and you immediately get it. Mm-hmm. Here, they have spots on the board where when you move over these spots, you roll a die. On like a 4 to 6, you pick up a weapon. 1 to 3, you don't. And on top of that, when you pick up a weapon, it's a random piece of equipment. So you don't know what you're getting. So the thing is, what happens is you spend a lot of time. No Twitter connection. No.
Jason without his phone is a disaster.
Anyway.
No, without Twitter is a disaster.
But anyway, so what happens is you get in a situation where people basically run around in the same room because you can't run over the same space that the same turn, but in a separate turn, so you can run over the space again, try to pick more stuff up.
Is it randomized again?
Yes, randomized again. Same thing. So you get people running around in a room for 3 or 4 turns. They finally get up enough decent guns to finally go run out and shoot somebody. So there's a lot of running around by yourself in circles, and then you go out and finally shoot somebody.
Hey, I mean, you should relate. That's pretty much your whole entire life. Running around in a circle.
I suppose in some ways. But, the biggest thing then is, since it's random weapons, it's not like where, say, Halo or Quake, where the strategy of the map, where you want to defend certain points to capture certain weapons, it's all just random. So it's basically you hopefully get lucky with the cool weapon, run out, blow somebody away, and run back. So not a terribly exciting game.
So basing everything off chances.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny to play because there's lots of crazy, you know, armor and stuff that can happen. You can protect yourself and cool, funny weapons. So it's kind of funny to see those combinations work out and watch people get screwed over. But it's not a terribly exciting game for me anyway. So whatever.
Any other games that we potentially would review next season? I mean,
I don't know. Because I usually wanted to play some different stuff. I wanted to play some historical games, World War II or Civil War games, but those were all taken up by the time I signed up.
Mm.
So I ended up playing a second game called Pandemic by Z-Man Games. It's another board game. This is a cooperative game where all the players are working together to try to stop a viral pandemic that's spreading across the world.
I'm a kid.
So you've got limited resources to basically try to save the world from everyone dying from this horrific, very cool game. Because it's very simple. How all the mechanics work is really easy to figure out how to play. But it's all about working together to know who's got what abilities and talk back and forth, who needs to do what to stop this thing.
Well, that's an epic fail for us.
Yeah, it's a bit of a disaster. But, I mean, this is the first time at these conventions where we played a cooperative game and actually won. So we literally saved the world at the last possible second. Because basically it's a kind of a countdown timer card deck, and it was down to the last card by the time we saved the world. If we'd have flipped that last card over, we would have all died. So it's definitely a unique challenge to the game. It's a lot of fun if you like working with people. I don't know if it's very
I want to be for Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle and Charlie be like, screw you all. You're all going to die. Build a bunker under somewhere. I'm going to survive.
Hey, how do you know about my bunker? It's supposed to be a secret.
Yeah, that's a secret. But then the best part of the convention, coming up after that, this is about lunchtime here. They have raffle drawings where when you play events and win events, which I didn't actually win any, but I played a bunch of them. You enter, you get a raffle, you know, raffle drawing to win cool prizes. In this case, I won this monster over here. Fantasy Flight's Battlestar Galactica, which is, I was actually going to buy this game, but the fact that I won it is even cooler. Based on the new series of Battlestar Galactica that's now over, but it is a cooperative game, and it's actually, it seems really cool. I haven't played it yet.
So is someone the Cylons, or are you just the...
Yeah, basically, yeah. You have up to 3 to 6 players. Most people are going to be the humans trying to survive. It basically follows the plot line of the first season where they're going from the 12 colonies after they got nuked into oblivion to the planet Kobol. And it's how it works is one or more of the players, one or two of them, depending on how many players you got, is going to be a Cylon. So they're trying to get them killed. So if the humans make it to Kobol, they win. If the Cylons get them all killed, the Cylon player wins. But the thing is, you don't know who the Cylon is until he chooses to reveal himself.
And this is a three-player game?
3 to 6 players.
3 to 6 players. So we get an opportunity to review it this
I would love
time.
To. I'd love to sit down and try it. I mean, it's...
Okay, that's something to look forward to next season.
It's got a lot of details from the game. They got little plastic Vipers and Raptors and Heavy Raiders and Bay Stars in there.
Whose company made it?
It's Fantasy Flight.
Fantasy Flight.
So the StarCraft guys, Arkham Horror, Twilight Imperium.
That might be
that was a fun game, Twilight Imperium.
Yeah, that's fun.
That game you need to get.
Yes.
Please. That game was so much fun.
That game takes forever.
It's so much fun. It's a full day game, but it's so much fun. You need a full, 12 hours.
Yeah.
To play it.
Twilight Imperium basically was the game that the guys made before StarCraft. The same people made StarCraft and made Twilight Imperium. So you can actually see the similarities between the two. But Twilight Imperium is bigger. There's a whole political system in terms of voting and using your planet's influence to change the laws in the galaxy, destroy all Kyle's weapons, those kind of things.
Just because they built up a massive army that was going to overwhelm everyone and everyone decided to pick on me.
I wasn't picking on you.
Not you, but who was...
Seth was playing it? Yeah, Seth was picking on you. I was picking on Joel for it. The Joel who has been on the show a few times. Mm-hmm. The other thing I didn't like about that game, though, is Joel ended up winning my victory points.
That's because I allowed him to.
They have a victory point system like StarCraft. And the problem is, in this case, the way Joel won, he's the first person to get 10 points, which is what you got to get to. But he was about 2 turns away from complete extinction. I had 5 dreadnought battlecruisers. Next turn, would have bombarded his home planet, wiped his race off.
Which is why I want him to win.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Literally, because he had decided to. I told him, don't build anything there. I'm going to start a war with you. He decided to start a war with me. I launched a decisive strike, and it was this downhill war fighting against me from
and
there.
And that's when I took on Seth and was wiping
him
out.
Wiping him out. It was brutal.
I had my two massive plant destroyers.
The War Suns?
Yeah, the War Suns.
I think that's what they call it. War Suns, yeah. It's a fun game. It's long, but it is a fun game. It
took us, 10 hours, I think, to play? Between 2 days?
Easily.
10-12 hours.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the convention. At this point, this is about lunchtime, like I said. Then came the most bizarre comment of the day. The bathrooms there smell like Christmas. This is actually my tweet. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't see that one.
It's just
I
so
saw
weird.
It, but I didn't pay attention because I didn't understand
well,
it.
Because what it was, you know, I assume they have, you know, an automatic air freshener in the bathroom that, you know, goes off every few minutes. They must have put some kind of Christmas scent in terms of, like, it was very cinnamony and peppermint mixed. So you walk into the bathroom, it smelled like somebody's kitchen around Christmas time. I mean, it was hilarious. And the whole, it was like, well, that's weird, but...
So someone else said it? Or
well,
was
I
it
that.
You?
That was,
you
yeah,
said...
I was thinking, like, wait a minute, this like, smells like Christmas. Wow. But whatever. So that brings you to the afternoon, where at 2 p.m. was the next gaming session. So I was not in the bathroom for that long, but...
Random Thoughts 101.
Random Thoughts 101, the show's about.
Oh, boy. You're lucky I was a little slow to pick up on that one.
A little slow. Too bad. So I decided to do something a little bit differently, and I actually ended up playing a game of Dungeons & Dragons 3.5 edition. I'd never actually played Dungeons & Dragons the second edition, like 10 years ago, so like, okay, what the heck, I'll try it. It's a campaign called Blackmoor, which apparently emphasizes a lot on actual role-playing of the characters, which I don't like to do. But, so, it's still fun to, you know, run through the scenario, even though we had about 4 hours to play a 10-hour scenario. So the Game Master's like, okay, let's skip over these things. This encounter's too easy, you killed them all, no trouble at all. So it was really condensed, really fast, but it's something different than what we normally do. It's, I mean, I don't know if I'd play it a lot, but, you know, it's not that I would say I wouldn't play it again if I had the choice, but I'm not, like I said, not a big fan of the whole role-playing character, like. One guy was an incredibly stupid Western elf, and as he played the character like an idiot, intentionally. He was basically a very dumb character. We had a crazy rogue. She basically wouldn't shut up talking. That was her character attribute. She just talk nonstop, and would always just run and charge into things.
Kind of like what you're doing right now.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of like what you're doing right now. You suck, Kyle.
Meltdown, right in the middle of the podcast.
Regardless, so Dungeons & Dragons, enough of that. The last game of the night was Starfleet Battles, the simplified edition. And I'm using air quotes there for everyone in Radio Land. Yeah, if you ever played Starfleet Battles, this is a very long, very slow game. Each round is broken down into 32 impulses, in which everybody can move and possibly fire, but you only fire your weapon each weapon once per round. It's like, holy cow, it's slow. Yeah, so we basically got through two rounds of that in 4 hours.
Holy schmoly.
It basically makes Classic Battletech seem like it's a speed demon. That's how slow it is.
That's slower than Twilight Imperium.
Yeah, a lot slower. I mean, it's super detailed. It's kind of cool. Each system gets blown away one by one, and it's really detailed damage. You literally allocate energy all over the ship. It's really cool. But okay. It's just so slow, it's not worth playing, pretty much. That pretty much finished up the day. That was actually fun to play. We had actually... It was 5-on-5 Klingons versus Federation. We actually had a full 10-player table, just going back and forth, making fun of each other the whole time. So
which one did you play as?
I was one of the Klingons. I was a D5 war cruiser, I think, which is kind of like the old classic war cruisers from the original series. You know what I'm talking about? It was set during the classic 1960s television show. So
have
that,
no clue.
Okay, that's right. That brings us to the end of WinterCon. Which, I mean, all in all, it's kind of fun. I'll probably go back for Michicon, which is their convention they have in kind of summertime. See how things go then. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. So it was fun to get out and play some games I didn't ever play before. So
gives us the opportunity for you to decide which new games we can review in further detail.
Probably won't be doing any of those.
Not much.
Dungeons & Dragons really doesn't count for this show.
No, it doesn't.
Frag was kind of boring. Pandemic wasn't really about the show either. And Starfleet Battles is
Pandemic
strong.
We could.
Perhaps. It'll all be us just complaining why you're trying to kill us all, but...
You know, you're assuming that I'd want to kill us all. That's very hurtful here. You know, this is supposed to be the Christmas spirit of giving. See, I'm giving you a gift of a plague.
Actually, it's five plagues. It's five.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm giving you five gifts. That's even better.
Or since we play with the expansion, so there's like the four normal ones, which are the stocking stuffers, and the purple one, which is really deadly. Okay, let's move on here. That's enough of blabbering about that. What we got over the side here I'm going to bring in front of us is going to be our official tabletop Battlefield Christmas tree. It's going to totally block my view to it, and it's the most ugliest decoration job I've ever...
And it falls apart, too!
Maybe I won't move it. Just keep the camera point over
you
here.
You grab
Sarah.
It from move the from middle the there. Bottom and middle.
Bottom and middle part.
Can I just sit right in front of Ryan since no one really cares about him?
That's fine.
Right
no one
fine.
Wants to see Ryan anyway.
No, not right
so
now.
Ryan's I mean, just hiding back there behind
he scares
the
away small children.
So anyway, here's what we're going to do. Yeah, he's still back here.
Hello.
Here is what we're going to do. I put together a short little package. We're going to show you now how you can actually go ahead and take old miniature war game figures and turn them into Christmas ornaments.
And set the Christmas tree on fire?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
No. I don't know if this is flammable or not.
I'm
sure it is. It's an old, it's basically a Christmas tree my dad assembled from,
that is so
pieces of other Christmas trees.
It's got wood in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
there
you probably
go.
Pretty flammable. So, yeah. All right, let me go ahead. We'll roll the little package. You can take a look how you can turn your miniature war game figures into Christmas ornaments.
Now, let's go ahead and take a look how you can actually turn your miniature war game figures into Christmas ornaments. Now, I'm going to show you two ways of doing this. One is completely non-destructive, so you can easily reverse the process and use your figures back in the game. The other way isn't really destructive, per se, but does involve using a little bit of hot glue and gluing something to your figure. So, it may have a little bit of impact in, say, the paint job or something like that, so just keep that in mind when you're using the second procedure. Now, the first procedure is really, really simple. Now, unfortunately, the non-destructive method can't be used in every figure, because what you're going to do is take a length of electrical wire, form a loop, and then kind of loop it around, say, a backpack or a gun or a shoulder, something that kind of sticks out that you can still kind of balance the figure on, and then use the other end of the wire and then hang it over the branch. So here's what you're going to do. Take a piece of electrical wire. I'm using a 20-gauge stranded wire. You want to use stranded wire because it makes it a little more flexible, a little bit easier to bend than solid wire. Measure out a piece that's maybe 8 or 9 inches long and cut it off. What you're going to want to do is bend this thing into a loop, which is, say, about, maybe 3 inches lengthwise and maybe a half an inch widthwise. So you're making this an oval shape that's 3 inches by about a half an inch. At the very bottom here, where the two ends of the wire meet, go ahead and twist that wire so you get a nice, fairly tight joint there. If you want to be sure, go ahead and then just put a little bit of hot glue on that twisted joint to secure it in place. And just give it a moment for that hot glue to dry. Here we go. Here's my completed electrical wire loop. You see there's a little bit of hot glue on the end here, and it's kind of securing the loop shut. So let's take our figure here. I'm using Sky Sentinel from Monster Apocalypse because he has a nice backpack, which would be easy to attach this to. So I'm going to go ahead and run the loop around his backpack as best I can, pull it up nice and tight, and then I'm going to twist the electrical wire a few times. And this will basically secure the electrical wire to be looped nice and tight around Sky Sentinel's backpack. And there we go. I can now form another loop out of the top half of the electrical wire. And you can see right there, it makes a simple, easy, effective way I can hang the Sky Sentinel on my Christmas tree. A really simple, quick, dirty way to make a cool-looking Christmas ornament. So now when it comes to the slightly destructive method, what you're going to do is take a little nut that you normally screw on, say a bolt or a screw like that, and you're going to hot glue it to the top of the figure, and that's going to give a little bit of an anchor point to use a more traditional Christmas hook that you would hang, say, a Christmas bulb or something with. Now the one trick to this process is you got to pick a spot on the figure that is relatively close to its center of mass. And what I mean by that is the figure's got to be able to balance from that point evenly. So that's basically when it's hanging, it's kind of hanging in the right orientation. If you pick something off the side, you may end up in a situation where the figure's kind of cockeyed. So, for example, if you pick something over here on the Tau figure's missile launcher I'm using, it kind of hangs funky like that. If you go too far to the front, it might hang backwards. Too far to the back, it might hang down forwards. So unfortunately, there's not any real easy way to figure out where you want to stick this nut, so just kind of a little bit of trial and error and a little bit of guesswork. All you're going to do is decide, first of all, where you're going to put the nut, take a small amount of hot glue, smaller the better, dab it down there, and very carefully, without burning yourself, attach the nut to that hot glue. The reason I'm using hot glue is, one, it dries relatively quickly,
And when this whole process is done with and Christmas is over, you can actually go ahead and kind of pry out the hot glue with minimal damage to the figure. Now that the glue, which is holding on the nut, has dried, I'm going to show you how easy it is to finish up this process. Take a little Christmas hook here. These are the small wire hooks you'd use to, say, attach like a Christmas bulb or something to the tree and hang on the tree. It's going to have one large hooked end to it and one small hook. The large end goes around the branch. The small hook goes into the ornament. In this case, the small hook's going to go into the hole of the nut. So run the wire through there and just very carefully tighten the wire back up so to keep it from falling out of the hole the nut, inside the nut or the screw hole, the nut hole. There's no good way to say that, sounding dirty. Then, so whatever, you will fall out of the nut and just kind of hang it off your finger and see just how well it balances. If it doesn't balance very good, you can always go ahead and replace it. For me, I did a decent job. It definitely is not perfectly up and down straight, but it's good enough. So there we go. With as little damage as possible, I've turned another miniature wargame figure into a Christmas ornament ready to be hung up on your tree. Hope you enjoyed that short little tutorial here. Let's show you the ones we made. Ryan, you want to get one for me here?
There you go.
So here you go. We've got, first off, Mucustos, which is a new guy from Monster Apocalypse Now. We have, it was the Ancient Olgroth, Ancient Osiroth, which is a Cthal figure from Monster Apocalypse. Of course, here's the Sky Sentinel. I'll hold on that one. And then last, my favorite Tau Empire Battlesuit Commander, who actually beat a human captain in hand-to-hand combat, which is awesome. We'll never forget that day. So, do you want to hang something on the Christmas tree, Ryan? And Kyle, why don't you?
Sure.
Just go ahead and stick them on front, then we'll turn the darn lights on me. So, it's, I mean, if you got a lot of figures, it's kind of a neat little thing to do, and just if you want something that looks cool, because I think most Christmas ornaments are kind of lame, but that's my opinion. Except for the ones that play music from McDonald's. I still love those until the battery died.
What? Oh, boy.
That's me just talking and not shutting up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to shut up, Jason.
Yes.
As, you know, required comment that I need to make before. Suggested.
All right. Why don't we go ahead here and turn these lights on? I've basically taken about 500 lights on this tree.
And so is it going to light up like a children's pajama factory?
What?
That's horrible. No, actually, I don't think you really can't start a tree on fire just by having too many lights. A short circuit would do it, but too many lights won't. So,
okay.
As the tree goes up in flames.
I got a comment from someone else, unfortunately. That wasn't an original comment.
I'm sure it probably wasn't. But this is probably one of the worst light jobs ever done. You got the bottom's got just solid blue lights. The middle's got multicolored lights.
They got lights that are out. They got lights that are flickering.
Half the lights blink, half them don't blink. The top strands up here are white icicle lights, which obviously they're outdoor lights because they're white wires, and the wires stand out worse than the lights do in the top of the tree. How's it looking, camera, Sarah? Does it look good?
Probably looks like just a big, giant, bright blob.
Does it actually come out clear, or is it a giant blob? Okay. You can say something if you want. No? Okay, she doesn't want to talk. All right, then. Why don't we... I got one more thing here related to the Christmas tree. Where'd it go?
There we are.
Of course,
what's this?
What we always like to see under the Christmas tree here is a way of saying thanks to you guys for all your help these past couple years. Got a couple presents for you. There's one for Kyle.
What?
Ryan.
This is a shot.
Yay.
Here's a Christmas present for you. Go ahead. Tear them open. See if you...
Uh-oh, I know what this is. We're becoming professional here, I believe.
Not necessarily.
I feel... Jason, can you help me? I kind of can't use my left
hand.
Yeah.
My left hand is a problem for you. Go ahead and...
This one looks better than your last one.
Yay! Those turn out a little bit better. They're all a little bit different there. So, why don't... So Sarah got the one she wanted, the tabletop...
I will not comment what that that could be.
Oh, Jason, this is the best gift in the wide world. Oh, hold it up, please, Jason.
See what it says? One.
Yes!
That's a good one.
Yeah, Ryan, it is. It's awesome.
Ryan got the one in the back. Says, all dice hate me, and there's a D6, a D8, a D10, a D12, a D20, and they're all rolling one.
You forgot a D3.
Woo!
Yeah,
no,
D4.
D4, yeah. That's what I mean.
It's not even a
D4 debate. Oh, God. Oh, that's just my Christmas present for the year. Oh, wow.
He's got the new one in the back, and the new third season 3 robot, so looks a little bit better. Turned out a little bit better than the one that I got. Sarah, our camera girl, she's got similar to Kyle, except the front says Tabletop Battlefield Crew, just like she always wanted. So, hopefully you guys enjoy those.
Not bad. I like it.
So, let's go ahead and for the... you won't stop laughing at that.
Yeah, well...
So, with the Christmas tale, see Ryan at this point.
So, is that anesthetic getting to you? I mean, I noticed your hand there.
I think I need the ambulance again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I never really asked what happened to that hand. I kind of figured I didn't want to know, but...
The boating accident.
A boating accident.
Yeah. Strange.
Okay.
All right. So what I asked these guys to do is go ahead and put together, you know, like kind of a gift guide for Christmas. Kind of things that people who watch a show might want. So give you guys some ideas, maybe give your parents or your friends ideas of what they can buy for you. I've actually got a list together here. Do you guys got any ideas? You want me to go first?
Once again, I have no list.
That's not surprising. Despite the fact I told him to do so, gave him an hour to do so when we're shooting the lightsaber stuff. So do you want to make something up, or Ryan, do you want to say something, or do you want me to make something up?
Well,
list?
I think my list was All the Dice Hate Me t-shirt. I mean, that's good.
You know what? From this gift, I'd say any tabletop Battlefield shirt is, you know, amazing gift for anyone.
They're for sale.
If they were? They're not. Wow.
Not yet. I'm working on that.
So I'm sure you have people start requesting them for sale.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean.
I like them. Limited edition, I guess.
Yeah, they're limited edition right now. There's only 4 tabletop Battlefield shirts that exist, and they're all right in this room right now.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, well, fine. I'll go through my list here.
I have a couple ideas, okay.
Go ahead. You start first, Cal. I've talked so much this episode.
Well, I would start off with the new Retribution from War Machine.
War Machine, okay.
They're a bunch of elves that kick that have... my language.
They're really ticked off elves, too.
Ticked off to elves that do not like mages. So if you want something different from War Machine, that is a great opportunity to have, some unique, what are they called? They're called a different, they're not
Myrmidons?
Myrmidons, yes.
Yeah, you're talking about the
Myrmidons, yeah, yes, Myrmidons. Because they're not Warjacks. Yeah. They're actually Myrmidons, and they have shields and other fancy abilities, so, it gives the play a little bit unique style.
So that's kind of a good time because they only came out in September, so chances are a player might not have them right now. If they're, it's probably get $100, get them a small army, get them started,
There's still some stuff on eBay now, I'm sure. So even there. So go ahead, Jason.
All right. I broke my list down into 4 different categories.
Nerd.
The reason I did that is we got entry level, mid range, crazy, psycho, high end stuff. And then, a random similar things other people might be interested in. For entry level, these are things that would be good for people who are not terribly familiar with games, things like that.
Okay.
They're maybe kind of getting into gaming, but not a lot. First and foremost, Dawn of War 2 for the PC or Xbox 360, preferably PC, because it is a real-time strategy game, and I think you want to like real-time strategy on Xbox 360. But,
Oh, God.
I might cut that out.
Yeah, you might have to cut that out. Can we?
Okay.
Do you want to start over again? I can just say
no.
That,
okay. We'll keep going. Right. I was gonna bleep that out when I just said
that. How about my bleeping out my
Dawn of War 2 is a Warhammer 40,000 real time strategy game. It's a lot of fun. I got it upstairs. I've been playing it. It's definitely great for people who like sci-fi, or especially if people like Warhammer 40,000. It's a great way to kind of introduce them to the universe without spending a lot of money. It's been out for about a year. So you can probably find it for $30 to $40 for the PC. Maybe the Xbox 360 probably might be a little more expensive. But it is a fun, great way to get started. Other recommendations for entry level are Chaos in the Old World by Fantasy Flight Games. This is, I believe it's $60. It's Fantasy Flight. So it's a Fantasy Flight game, but it's not really complex. I got to play it once. It is a fun game. So what it is a standalone game in the Warhammer Fantasy universe. each player controls one of the four demon gods that are basically trying to corrupt the world in different ways. So you got each of the different demons have different powers, and they basically try to corrupt people in different ways. So you actually go ahead and as you play them, and you use the you actually play like the things you do actually reflect who you're the character you're playing as. It's really cool.
I think I've heard of this game.
It's relatively came out back in September. It's actually fairly simple and straightforward for a Fantasy Flight game. There's about 10 steps to the turn, but they're all really easy. Things go well. It'd be a great kind of game to get people into it. It's four players and it's a lot of fun. And the other two more things. Space Hulk. This is another good thing for Warhammer 40,000 people.
Oh, that was
expensive. It's $100, but it's a relatively simple introduction to Warhammer 40,000.
That was a great game.
And yeah, it was an awesome game.
So I mean, yeah, it's definitely if you can still find it as a trick, it's kind of was kind of limited edition run. You may be going to eBay, but you know it, you might still be able to find it. And last but not least, I'm going to recommend Pandemic that I played the WinterCon game. It's a fun, simple. Four-player co-op game. If you want to try to,
it might deserve our review next year. You know, just to really see what we can do with it.
It'd be fun. So yeah, so those are my recommendations for entry-level gaming. Just a few of what could be. So anyway, you got any ideas, Ryan?
Well, the one thing I did research the past couple of weeks is just HeroScape, and they haven't really released much.
Not a whole lot.
But I mean, you can find. I mean, what they do have released on eBay or Amazon, relatively cheap. So just go ahead and go through HeroScape website and look them up, and you'll see a bunch of deals on there.
Right here. One thing is coming out. I don't know if it'll be out by Christmas. Is for HeroScape, a Dungeons and Dragons Monster and Hero Pack. It's basically famous Dungeons and Dragons Monsters and Heroes that are with HeroScape stats. That's what I heard coming out. I haven't seen it yet, but
no, I haven't. I haven't heard of that either.
No, I haven't heard about that.
Or might move along.
We can keep moving along. Okay. I have a couple ideas, but I'll save them for a little bit.
So let's move to the mid-range category. Reality, probably the best gift for these people is a gift card. So these are the kind of guys who've already started a small army, or maybe want to go to more in-depth, more serious, more difficult gaming. A gift card is probably the best thing to possibly do, just because. It's often going to be hard to know what exactly you need to buy because, you know, any given army's got, like, 50 different units to pick from and stuff like that.
Now I got a question. Do they give out gift cards in, like, gaming stores?
Games Workshop has gift cards.
Oh.
I don't know about the independent game stores. It's going to vary from place to place. Some might not.
No, so. Either way, you can get a bank card and do it that way.
Something like that, yeah. If you do kind of have a deal what people want, a good thing might be if they're interested in 40K or Fantasy but haven't started playing it yet, you could pick up either the Black Reach starter set for 40K or Skull Pass for Fantasy. The thing to keep in mind with this is make sure they've actually played these games before and know what they're getting into. They're both, you know, 40K and Fantasy are both big, complex games that get very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Along with some paint supplies, probably.
Yeah, paint supplies, mm-hmm. along glue.
Paint supply stores.
Glue, yeah.
So, you know, make sure
some solvents, just in case you glue in the wrong places.
Yeah, I mean, granted, these things are relatively easy to put together. The way the figures are designed in these sets, they're simpler than normal figures. But still, this wouldn't be something I'd just buy some random person who might have a passing interest in 40K. Make sure they've actually played the game and really want to get started in it before you buy them. They retail for about $75. And basically, same goes for any kind of starter set, either Arcane Legions or War Machine Battle Boxes. Make sure they're really interested in the game before spending money on it, because these things, while they're usually standalone games themselves, except the War Machine Battle Box, where you need two of them, they're really designed to be built upon and, you know,
whoever the personality of that person, because they are just that expensive. Yeah.
So that's it for the mid-range stuff.
I would have to, I would like to say that, what was the game we played with Joel and Seth? I'm sorry.
Imperium?
That is the ultimate gift, I think. Expensive, yes.
That's a very that's a mid-range or high-end. I think it's
mid-range.
$90 maybe.
Yeah, mid-range,
something like that.
It's closer to 100, yeah. But I mean, it has everything you need. It is definitely takes a long time to play. Complicated rules, so it is part of the mid-level gaming. But it was amazing.
It's a full-blown Fantasy Flight game. There's no.
It was amazing. If you have a full day to do nothing, this is the best way to do nothing.
We're not really doing nothing to run a space empire.
What?
Okay. Anything else? Or do we move on?
No, that was my ultimate top end.
I got to move on to the high end, who cares how much it costs, buy something really cool. Nice. If you know the faction that you're basically, this works well for 40K, sometimes so much Fantasy. But if you know the faction, the person who you're buying for, what they play, many of the factions have super huge box sets. They're like $300-$400 and have lots of figures in them. Buy one of those. If you know, because chances are like, it's basically going to double their army in size, and it's probably going to probably save you 30-40% off buying them individually.
And you won't have to think about what you need to get in the in the box.
You probably can't find those in most GW stores. It's like an online only. Some of them are going to be hard to find because they were released for, say, Apocalypse or some other special event. They're not really easy to find anymore. That's a good thing to get. Also, for figure painters, if they like using the Games Workshop brand paints, there's a gigantic, like, $200 to $300 set that has one of every single paint GW ever made in it. It's awesome. I love to buy that. I mean, I could buy pretty well with a handful of paints, but when I'm at the paint bar over there with everything, you can do some really cool stuff. So that's a good, if you want to blow some money, you got a really serious painter.
Speaking of painting, I still got to do lots of painting.
Yeah, do lots
of painting. How's your painting coming, Ryan?
What painting?
Yeah, it'd be tough to paint with only one hand, though, you know?
I'm left-handed, too, so it makes it...
That is a downer.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit difficult.
That's unfortunate. Oh, well.
Yeah. You're like I'm sitting through this, Jason.
Yeah,
you haven't passed out from, like, loss of blood? Nothing like that?
No, not really. Not yet.
Very good. All right. That's good to hear.
Well, if he dies, can I get his shirt?
I'm
getting buried with that shirt. I mean, that's a shirt. I'm going to write that in the will. Please bury me with this shirt because this has been my whole life so far.
Your wife said it there, but you know that?
This has been almost my whole life so far.
Is there a replacement husband for you somewhere? I'll be willing to find one for you.
Let me go back and add one mid-range gift. One thing I forgot. For 40K players, if they haven't read them yet, the first 5 books of the Warhammer 40,000 Horus Heresy series. They reach around 400 pages long, and they're almost all very good books. I say the first 5 because the series kind of takes nosedive to number 6. But the first 5, they're excellent books, good stories, awesome characters, and it's really great if you, especially if you want to know more about the history, because the Horus Heresy takes place 10,000 years before the main Warhammer 40,000 games takes place. It's basically the pinnacle event in the history of humanity. So it's really pretty cool. It's a cool story to read. That's my one more thing for that. Well...
I think that we're pretty much summed up. I mean, those were my 2 main gifts. I mean, I have one other idea, but that's not out until February. Well, really,
it'll be for next year.
Something for next year.
Yes, something for next year. Potentially, but I'll save that for the next season.
Okay. Well, let me ask a few what I call the random things here. Well, I missed the Monster Apocalypse comics too. Okay, before I get the random things.
Monster Apocalypse comics?
Yeah, these are actually released back when the game first came out. And they're kind of hard to find, but for any Monster Apocalypse player, they're awesome. They're to read. I finally got the whole series, like I said last time. They're going to cost you probably about $5 each on eBay. Mm. But it gives a brief backstory behind the Monster Apocalypse.
There are only 3 of them?
There's only 3 of them, but all 6 factions show up at least once in them. So it's pretty cool. The 6 original factions from the first series. Some other random stuff, of course, just things I like, maybe you might be interested in. If you haven't got it yet, the new Trans-Siberian Orchestra CD, Night Castle, is another one of their non-Christmas CDs, but it's absolutely fantastic and awesome.
I'm going there this year again.
You want to see them again? That's a fantastic concert, too. That's a good thing, concert tickets for Trans-Siberian Orchestra for the Christmas show.
Oh, absolutely. It helps when someone else gives me the tickets for free.
Yeah,
so
that. Yeah, it does help. Okay. Also, the series...
Babylon 5.
Babylon 5, the entire series and movies are all on DVD. If people like this show and you haven't bought it yet, it's awesome. I have the entire series.
You know, remember, I watched through that whole series 10 times, so...
You did,
Powerfully good series.
Yeah, and then I introduced you to it, but you never got into it until you played the game.
Yeah, that's when I played the game and bought one of the episode packs. Like, this is so awesome. I bought the rest of them.
Remember, in the beginning was what I think the first movie that I showed you.
It might have been, yeah.
Before I taped over it, or I lost it. I mean, I lost it as a DVD.
So the irony, in the beginning is probably not the best movie to show someone, though, even though it's the first major event in the story, but...
Well, no, it's decent. I mean, it has its moments.
There's so much more to it once you've seen the entire series. You
pick
up lots of little things, you know what happens, and like how we're
Well, yeah, all the movies you see afterwards to understand the series.
Yeah. Also, Battlestar Galactica, the entire series, is on Blu-ray and DVD.
Which one?
The new one.
I know. So, the new one is interesting. Yeah, it's a decent series.
It's really good one to watch on DVD.
Yeah. I'm going through it all on DVD and on Netflix right now, and the miniseries is really good. Got a little bit better. It was okay for the first season. The second season was pretty good. End of the second season was awesome. Beginning of the third season is awesome, too. So it's really getting awesome now. Because the show changed a little bit from first season to third season.
Mm-hmm. So they stopped going from, hey, you're a Cylon. No, I'm not. Yes, you are.
That only lasts about the first part of the
season. That's what turned me off, and I never watched it again.
There's still a little bit of that, but not very much. It's much more toned down. Because by the time you get the third season, the humans know who the Cylons are.
Well, and they also the creators kind of figured out, hey, wait a minute, that's kind of annoying.
After a while.
Yeah, after a while. It could only go for so long. I think it might come back in the fourth season, but anyway, regardless. I haven't got that far yet.
The whole crew might be a Cylon. We just don't know yet.
No, the whole crew is not Cylon. We know a bunch of them who are not Cylon by this point, but we won't say who is and who isn't. I guess we're probably getting down close to the end of the show. Any last things you guys want to say for a sign off for the end of the year?
Seriously, Brian. Yeah, I don't know how boating accident can cause that or how you become that incompetent,
But
we need smart people on this show, so unless you can prove... Yeah, we can kick him off the show with his going away gift.
Well, tape's starting to run out, so let's kind of hurry up. Last few things. Like I said, last episode of the season. We'll probably get started back mid-January, of course, with our Game of the Year and other fun, crazy awards. Look back on 2009. So with that, let's just end this show then. Thanks, guys, for watching...
Ryan! It was Ryan!
Okay, just stop.
It was his fault.
We have 3 minutes of tape left, don't we, Sarah? Oh, 8 minutes? Okay, so we got
it. It was Ryan's fault.
A bit.
He was making me laugh. He just went like this. Yeah, look. Look at him.
Don't even look at him.
Just
ignore Ryan. He'll go away.
Ugly people don't ever go away. I keep seeing them every day.
That smells bad.
Starting to rot over there.
I think gangrene's starting to set in.
Jeez, that's a mess you got there, poor Ryan.
Yeah.
So I guess with that, thanks for guys watching season 3. Thanks for sticking with us all these years. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Whatever. Have an awesome new year. We'll see you in 2010 for season 4 of the Tabletop Battlefield.
The Tabletop Battlefield is copyright 2007-2009 by Jason Rutherford and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.pachefighter.com and is used under a Creative Commons License.